Hi, good evening. Thank you for joining us. This is Sex and Dippity. I'm Dr. Limor Blockman.
And I'm Luann Hernandez.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Terrific. It's nice here tonight. Sizzling and hot in the studio. We just had two men sitting here spreading their testosterone all over the place. Yeah. So I gotta know, shoo, I'm putting a little, some estrogen in the air. So, how is it going? How is everything?
Good. Everything is pretty good.
Nothing good. Good.
Crazy.
You wanna introduce our topic?
Well, I believe our topic is masturbation.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So, of course, we're gonna talk about mainly female masturbation. We may have a male view as we go along, but in general, I find this topic extremely interesting because it's so vast and so different for one from another, and no two vaginas are alike. And we'll have a show about vaginas, but for now, we're just gonna talk about masturbation, mainly female masturbation, and. I'm going to, of course, ask you how you feel about it, but I want to start with an interesting quote from Nancy Friday. They wrote a few very good books in regards to women and female sexuality in general, and she had a lot to say about masturbation. One of the things that I liked that she said was, masturbation and fantasy is when you are most real and honest about yourself. How do you feel about that statement? Is that true?
I mean, I don't know. It's interesting. I guess it's interesting. I'm not sure how I feel about that, because I feel like at most parts you probably are. It's just a reflection of who you are.
Is that as you said, a reflection of who you are?
But I'm not sure if it's the truest self.
No, when you fantasize or you masturbate, it's not really the true self, you think?
Well, the reason I bring that up is because I know a lot of women have, like we talked in our fantasies, they have a lot of different types of fantasies that maybe isn't necessarily something that they would like or, you know.
But that is really like, I think, I tend to agree with that statement, because I do find that when a woman masturbates or when a woman fantasizes, especially masturbates and fantasizes at the same time, it is a very true view of who you are, especially whether you want to admit it or not. I think that it is actually the truer picture or the truest picture that you can depict, because you can really kind of screen, like with the study that we spoke about, with a plethysmograph last week. Women had the tendency to say one thing and then their bodies show differently when you masturbate or when you fantasize or doing both. You can't. I mean, because you're in the moment. And if you are going to kind of lie to yourself, you're probably not going to climax. Do you agree or?
I mean, I'm not, like I said, it's kind of hard for me to say that all women.
Let's talk about you. Your experience as a woman. I mean, yeah, forget what other women. Do you find that during masturbation or fantasy, what comes to mind is the real thing or a mask? Or somewhat of...
I don't really think it's necessarily the truest self. Mm-hmm. I think it's just one aspect of part of me, but not the whole thing.
Yeah, no, it can be the whole, but I think it's a very good kind of a testimonial of who you are and what you're interested in, even, again, if you don't like to admit it, and most people will not, as we kind of found. But I want to talk about the whole idea, because masturbation to us as... I don't know, as a Western society, as adults, whatever, and mostly people that are not that involved in the field that we deal with, or that are not that comfortable to talking about that topic, they have no idea. It seems like, first of all, something that is not really that suitable for, you know, a coffee talk kind of, or a dinner talk.
Maybe for my coffee and dinner,
different. but in general, people believe that it's also something that just emerges as an adult. And we'll talk later about how women see masturbation as something that is something that should be hushed and kind of not disclosed, and is something that good girls don't do. But I want to talk about, I'm sure you realize, but you want to kind of, let's discuss, when does it start? I mean, is that something that adults do, or is that something so innate and so within us?
Well, you know, I actually was watching a TED Talk recently in which they demonstrated a fetus in utero masturbating.
It's and
they
true.
So I think
true.
In terms of like masturbation.
Mainly male fetuses.
Yeah. So I think in terms of masturbation, when it starts, I think realizing that
from
you're...
From the womb, of course. Yeah, it's prenatal. And it's true. Mainly male fetuses were shown to masturbate. For some reason, there's not many evidence of female masturbation in the womb.
It may probably just be difficult to tell what exactly is going on.
Right, it's less because the penis is much more
it's like out
live.
There.
And it's right there, and I can, yeah, I see you touch it.
Yeah.
Yes. And also, we're much more comfortable with talking about male masturbation. It's kind of a badge of honor, less than for women. But it's true, yeah, that male fetuses mainly masturbate. But then we come to the stage of children or infants. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with what's going on there? I mean, have you come across it? Did you...
Children masturbating or touching themselves?
Or infants?
Yeah. Kids it feels good. They're going to touch it.
Right. Yeah. And the reaction is the main... it's going to create... what will happen in the future. It's going to lead the way of the future of how the woman or the man are going to feel about touching themselves later on in their lives. Because if a parent responds badly, it's probably going to be... But I want to talk about a study that I came across that spoke about girls masturbating between the ages of 7 to 27 months. And so these are real babies. And what I found funny and interesting about that study is that almost all of them, all of the parents were convinced that the babies, the girls were epileptic and that they were going through seizures.
Yeah.
Because some of the reactions were, some of the, you know, the behaviors that were exhibited were, and I'm quoting from the study, rubbing against a firm edge of a parent's knee, laying on their sides or supine in other infants. And the posturing was often accompanied by irregular breathing, facial flushing, and diaphoresis, which is the excessive sweating. And the parents were convinced that the girls were epileptic, that something was going on, and they really exhibited a lot of concern. Mm-hmm. And actually, this is like a kudos to the professionals that said, no, nothing is wrong. The babies are okay. The little girls are doing fine. They're doing terrific. Oh, and I have to mention that a few of these alleged seizures went from a minute to a few hours at the time. So they were so mesmerized. The little girls were so mesmerized with the feeling that it was created that they couldn't kind of let go of it, which was kind of addictive. It was, I think it's cute.
It is.
But most parents were very worried about it. Yeah. And this is exactly the point that I was making, that why do you feel so weird about it to find that especially our little girls, as adults watching little girls, why is it so traumatizing? Why is it so uncomfortable?
Well, I think there's a big lack of knowledge just in general, because I've worked with a lot of first-time parents, and they're completely unaware of the fact that their child may be sexually exploring themselves when they're touching their genitalia.
Their genitalia. Yay.
You know what I mean? Like, they're like, oh, like they must have an itch. Like they like don't think.
Or a seizure.
Yeah. Or they're having a seizure. Like, God forbid that they're actually enjoying touching themselves. But, you know, and it just takes a little bit of, you know, education. So I think a lot of it is just a lack of education that infants and children masturbate and they like the way it feels when they touch themselves. Shocking.
Yes, it is unfortunate. No. I agree. That's all to humanity.
Yeah.
But
you know, I'm not sure that it's entirely, I mean, I think there's also the part of it too that's just like, it's wrong to masturbate. But I think a lot of it is lack of ignorance.
Right.
I mean, just ignorance.
Do you think that the main part is the ignorance or our problem with it? As I'm talking our problem, of course I don't, but I'm talking as adults.
Well,
I definitely have no problem with it. I encourage it.
Yeah, well, I think some people don't want to get educated on it because they want to stay in denial. Like, I think that there's like...
So they find it wrong? And even though it's very kind of obvious to them that the child is experiencing masturbation or self-pleasuring, they're still going to say, oh my God, something is wrong with the kid, just because they prefer not to admit it.
Yeah, I think there's that they think,
because I don't really buy the ignorance.
Well, I think a lot of people are ignorant. Like, because I've worked with, you know, all of the parents that are well-educated, you know, advanced degrees, they don't know that babies touch themselves and get pleasure
from
it. Even advanced degrees. So it's like, it's interesting. So that's kind of one of the reasons why, you know, I think there is a lack of knowledge of the sexuality throughout development. Mm-hmm. So that's one part of it. And then the other part of it is, this idea that discovering your sexuality is a response to a lack of innocence. And so it's, you know, on top of that, it's like, oh, well, if my child is sexual, then they're not this innocent little thing that I can protect from, you know, protect from the world. So there's like all these other like psychological layers from what I've been able to kind of tease out when I've worked with, you know, parents who for the first time are realizing, you know, oh my God, this child has its own little life and it's not about, you know, it's not about me protecting
them. The genitals
them.
Are yeah. taking the role. Yeah.
And then there's
the
also fear of, you know, sexual abuse, that's what happened. You know, that there's, like, that's the reason why they're interested. Like, the fact that you could just, that
someone
an infant.
Someone touched them. Show me on the doll where your wife is not touching you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's mainly the problem usually.
Yeah.
So... who is the main masturbator? Let's just talk adults now and females. I want to talk about women because we know that most men, and unfortunately, the numbers are still the numbers. And what do you think, like numbers wise? How many men, how many women?
Well, 100% of men. Just
You're right. You're not far from it, okay? You're very close to it.
People who report it? Women who report masturbating? Because it's probably 100% of women,
well,
too.
Unfortunately, it's not.
I know.
I mean, unfortunately, it's really not. But what do you think? Yeah, reporting it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Because I was like,
let's
liar.
Just say, reporting it, liar. You touch yourself all the time.
I know. You've rubbed up against something. We all know
I
it.
I saw you against my knee. I know what you were doing. Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you think? How many women masturbate?
I don't know, maybe the reporting amount, probably about 65.
Yeah, it's even lower.
Oh my God.
It's between 40 and 50.
That's very sad.
Really half.
Yeah.
Really half of the numbers
women
that
report.
Men. Yeah. I mean, and honestly, it's sad, but these are the reports. And I have to say that when you're a teenager, and we were talking about adolescent sexuality and onward, but about 15, 16-year-olds... again, the boys report to 100%. The teenagers, male teenagers, report to about 100%, 95 to 100. And the girls report to around 25, which is really low. And then when they become adults, it goes up to 40 or something. But it's still very low, in my opinion, and very unfortunate. But I was curious about... who is, of course, the one that reports and the one that enjoys masturbation mainly? Do you think that it's distributed by, I don't know, race, age,
education level?
What do you think? Because I'm curious of your opinion.
I think education level is more indicative of women that masturbate for whatever reason.
Well, for whatever reason, I think the main reason is because you're more aware, as you are more educated and less, you know, less inclined to kind of lie to yourself.
I don't know.
Well, to you about your feelings, because you're like more exposed to a wider realm of things. So you say more educated.
That's the only thing that I could think of necessarily.
Okay. So what they came up with was kind of, you know, an equation of higher education, yes, definitely between a bachelor degree and a master's degree, which is kind of falls into place. I kind of assumed that. And a higher social class, which is interesting. I mean, I don't know what's going on with lower class. I mean, why is that not fitting there? But
well, it also probably correlates with education level as well.
Well, yeah, as I said. And then the ages were between 25 and 35. These were the main masturbators. Mm-hmm. Older or younger, less. I don't know. And Caucasian, which was kind of interesting. But it doesn't surprise me so much because I kind of... Most factors into this equation were kind of predicted. And what do you think? So in terms of societies, let's talk globally. We'll kind of term it into who is the biggest masturbator. So let's say the Brits, the French women, or the American women.
God, I don't know. I'm probably going to guess the French women, but I don't. Yeah.
Do you think it's really different one society from another? Because this
really.
Is all Western society.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where, but we're all Western in these societies.
Can I say something?
Yes, of course.
I think it's that we're a place that's more oppressed with, like, sex being not as taboo.
Yeah.
Like, because it's not talked about in anything, I think that's where it would be more, like, the women masturbate more because they're not exposed to it as often or they're not around it so much.
So because it's more taboo, they will masturbate more.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Oh, that's interesting.
I like that approach.
I wouldn't know where it was.
I know. Jenny joined us. I'm so happy. That's terrific. That's a very good point that you made. And we'll see if it falls into the... But what did you think? Did you think it was the French women?
Yeah.
You know, I was surprised. So I have to say that the women in America showed like 42% low, lame women. Hello.
Yes.
Touch yourself right now. Yes. The French women were around 35 to 40%, less than the Americans, which was a surprise to me. Yeah. But I kind of assume because they have so much encounters. Oh, l'amour, and they're like in bed all the time. They don't have time to masturbate. I'm guessing they're like lovemaking.
Yeah,
he's taking
that,
more.
See, that's the thing. It's like sex is okay, but masturbation is not.
That's
right.
Dirty.
Is you touch yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, please have sex under the blanket. We don't want to see any of it.
Turn the lights off.
Don't, and yeah, just please complete pitch dark. And the Brits. We're like, I'm like a fan right now, and they're like 71%.
What?
Yay.
Yay. Yeah.
Is there an age group for this?
Well, yeah, they were between 25 to 35. Yeah, young women.
I wonder if the younger women would be larger, too. I wonder if there were
more masturbators within the young. I hope so. I really hope that the younger generation is going to be more promising.
Yeah.
No, definitely. But yeah, the Brits were surprising.
They're more distractions now, so.
Yeah, they're like, I'm technology, on my iPhone. Yeah.
I know, but it's like to me, the fact that you have all this accessibility to kind of, you know, raunchy or more, you know, kind of, you know, to me, it's like, it's more accessible. Even porn is such in your hands. Unlike, you know, when I was growing up, it was less, it was more hidden and was more like, I don't know.
You had to go to the store to get it.
Not store,
no, but
you could,
know what I mean.
You know, you could get like tapes, I don't know, like stuff. Yeah. It wasn't, you know. So now with the internet and everything, it's by far more accessible. To me, it looks like, I don't know, I would assume, or they're lying. They are lying. I'm hoping that you're playing with yourself more than you say. Yeah. So what do you think, both of you, Who is, what? Why are we using masturbation? Is this something that we use as just self-gratification, or is it a replacement of a sexual encounter more commonly?
That's a stumper.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, like, you know, what's more common for women? Am I, like, in bed, I'm saying, ugh, I didn't come yesterday. This fucker, he left me hanging. I'm going to now masturbate. Or this is an additional thing, you know?
Yeah.
Is it instead of or in addition to my
sexual bliss? Most women, I would probably say it's instead of.
Instead of?
I would guess that's probably
more.
What
do you think, Jenny?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to answer it because I would think, you know, after you go through a certain period of your life where you're comfortable with sex, it's like you'll do it regardless of having someone there.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll also do it if you have someone there. You
right.
Know?
So you're saying that it's not as a replacement just
yeah.
because. You're right. Jenny's right. Most women, to the degree of 70%, said that they used it as an additional thing, not as a replacement. Actually, the replacement, the women that claimed that this activity was replacing their climax with their partner, were like close to 9%, even a little less.
Wow.
Much lower. Yeah. It's interesting. And what I found more interesting is, how do we masturbate? What do we do? I mean, I was fascinated by it. What do we do? I mean, do we use immediate direct touch? Do we use vibrators? Do we rub against someone's knee or an edge of a bed?
Yeah.
What do you think? What do most women do to masturbate? Direct touch or?
I would guess direct touch. But I think a lot of women lately have been using more vibrators too.
So the distribution was direct stimulation of the clit, whether with something external or with your hand, was about close to 90%,
mm-hmm.
very high. So we're happy with you women.
Yeah.
You're touching your clit. Good for you. Some of them were using a vibrator, much lower. It was about 20%. And there was about 20% of women that claimed that they were using a shower jet, water stream.
I've never found that exciting.
No, you've tried it? It wasn't exciting?
Well, I always wanted, every time I see it, I'm like, let me try it. I was like, nope, I don't like that. Nope, that is not fun. Not as fun as I hoped.
Well, I think it's less intense. This is probably where you find it less. No, because the water, I mean.
I was like, this is not exciting.
No?
It was just not.
Yeah.
I think maybe I was like trying to figure it out too much. Maybe it just wasn't as like intuitive as I had hoped.
The shower jet was not as intuitive. You need to gear towards
anything. I need instructions first. Hold on.
Yeah, I know.
Show me how to use this correctly.
It is interesting. And you know, I find that women were always obviously fascinated with touching themselves, only, you know, and I'm talking the 18th, 19th century. And I'm intentionally bringing this because that was the emergence of the speculum. You know the speculum? That device? I'm going to talk about it. I just want to say that back then, you know, gynecologists were using speculum, which is, I wish I had a picture here, but it's kind of a thing that, it's kind of a device that opens the vagina for the examination.
Yeah.
Kind of uncomfortable. They don't use it anymore. They have other devices that are hazardous in different manners, but they were using it. And what I found very cute and interesting was that all doctors at the time were so shocked over the reaction the women were getting out of the use of the speculum. One of them, Robert Brudenell, I have to quote what he said. He said, "I've seen young unmarried women of the middle class of society redirected by constant use of the speculum."
Mm-hmm.
To the mental and moral condition of prostitutes seeking to give themselves the same indulgence by the practice of solitary vice. I don't know. I mean, you can go on and on. But the thing is, it was really, and other doctors were claiming, like Charles Meigs, in the 19th century, he said, I feel very bad using the speculum on these dear little ladies fit only for love.
let me use the speculum.
It became really uncomfortable because French socialites were making appointments with doctors, home visits, and demanding the speculum. So it became like really uncomfortable and kind of, you know, the whole thing during these centuries, I have to go through it because I find it fascinating that back then, both doctors and women were so uncomfortable, but it was so prevalent and used, but as a medical thing. I mean, you know, of hysteria and the whole condition of hysteria. So they assume it was the shifting of the uterus and that something really like Plato assumed that the uterus was wandering off.
Just walking inside, out.
Yes, wandering off inside a woman's body. And the reason that it's looking in for moisture, mm-hmm. right?
Obviously.
It's walking around looking for moisture. And the women that are not, the women that are suffering from it the most are women that are not getting enough. Because either they're virgins or they're celibate or something of that sort. And the solution to that would be marriage. Because you have a lot
sex.
Of sex. Yes, right. Or to be pregnant, because then you're occupied with the meager.
The uterus can't go anywhere.
Yeah, the meager idea of carrying a fetus. Yes. So you're busy. Yeah. You don't need to worry about it.
It's occupied. It's pretty solid down.
I know. It's like, yeah, it's really settled there. So that's your solution. Either get married or get pregnant. And it was funny. They even said that this moisture that women have more than males is kind of the reason why they have breasts. It's like, I have the Pacific Ocean going on. It's like that moisture. I have, you know, what's going on? And so, yeah, the doctors would actually, in lack of other terms, they would masturbate women in their offices into what they called paroxysm, which is an orgasm. And they would use their hands. Now, I have to say, they were doing a lousy job.
An hour and a half at the doctor's office.
And I'm like, all right, already. When is she fucking going to come? You know, they were like struggling with. But lo and behold, there was the advent of hydrotherapy, for one. Because we were talking about your shower jet. Apparently, it did work with women. They love the hydrotherapy. But then there was the emergence of the vibrator, you know? I'll mention later about Greece and the whole, you know, emergence of the vibrators there. But by 1970 or something, it was the emergence of the vibrators. And the first one was actually marketed as a solution for wrinkles. It was called the Vibratil. And really, I saw an ad that says, you should get it because it will clear your face and make
you
rosy cheek. What?
Were you supposed to use it on your vagina?
Yes, but it will, you know, indirectly.
Oh.
Yes. It was, yeah, you were supposed to use it in your vagina.
Is this like the Sharper Image neck massagers?
Yes. Well, yeah, in a manner, but it was supposed to be inserted into the vagina. And the ads that were talking to, that were directed to men, were saying, if you want your wife to have rosy cheeks and bright eyes, you should get her the fucking thing.
Buy a vibrator.
And
that should be, instead of an engagement ring, like they should have advertisements like,
I know.
Do you really want to make your wife happy? Do you really want to make your girl happy?
They would use like, I saw even a slogan, the pleasure of youth will throb gently within you.
I saw that as in the show Mad Men. They show them selling like
the
a weight loss. Yeah, like a weight loss thing, like underwear that these women can
yes.
put on. But it creates a vibration.
Right, and it's actually a vibrator in a way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very
vibrating
true.
Vibrating panties.
Yes, it's very true. They were selling it in all different ways. Excluding the only direct way that this is what it should do,
so
and you should come insanely and have an amazing climax, but nobody was saying it. The thing is, yeah.
Have you seen Sex in the City where Samantha returns the
I have neck, seen.
Where the neck massager. They're like, yes. What's wrong with this massager?
I've exhausted it. No?
It doesn't get me off.
Yeah, it doesn't get me off. You know, that's a good reason.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would just be kind of uncomfortable to... But yeah, the thing is, the doctors were so happy with these devices because, first of all, it took a load off their hands.
No pun
literally.
Intended.
Pun. And they were like, enough already with all these women coming in looking for the speculum, looking for this and that. They're like, they want us to give them paroxysm. And we're like, in a nutshell, men were fucking lazy back then for the hand job. And they are now. It's very unfortunate. You know, there are a few of these conditions that really...
this has not changed.
How do you feel about
in
it?
Decades, I mean, it's like centuries. They're like, oh, just get a vibrator.
Just,
I can't
you know,
do this
take
anymore.
Take care of your wrinkles and leave me the fuck alone. I know. It's like, yeah, but it's... don't you find it fascinating that through the ages, and men were always very oblivious to that need, and also found it very insulting that women would also seek it and look for it. What do you think? I mean, we're going to talk about how do men feel about it now, but...
How is that any different than it is now? I think men feel the same way. I think they're not... I think it's the same thing. And I also see a little bit of a switch also, too, with women and erectile dysfunction, personalizing that type of a thing as well. You know, like we talk about... giving somebody an orgasm versus like attaining, you know, your own orgasm. So if you aren't getting an orgasm from your partner, it's obvious that they're...
I'm getting it from you.
You're not getting it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's something that you're doing wrong, so you personalize it versus...
You mean that he's supposed to get me off?
Well, I think there's, you know, when we talk about, you know, even the language we use is like, give me an orgasm or give him an orgasm. Like, you're like a present. You know, like,
that's a
Merry
terrible
Christmas.
Thing. Yes. First of all, it should never be a present. It should be a given.
But what I'm saying is, you know, we use this language because it's as though somebody else is responsible for you orgasming. And so I think that has continued even through now, that type of thought pattern.
I agree. I just find that it's completely fascinating that... what do women think about their own masturbation patterns comparing to what do men think, and who thinks, you know, worse about it or badly about it? Is it us? Do we feel uncomfortable when we masturbate? Do we feel uncomfortable admitting that we're using a vibrator? Or is it, you know, that we're trying to satisfy our partner and say, no, it's your dick is the best. That's the only thing I'm using. Huh? It's the only meat I'm getting into my body.
Do I think women feel bad about it?
Yeah.
Masturbating? I think there is a lot of internalized, you know, oppression towards our sexuality.
So women feel bad still about masturbating?
I think a good portion of women still have that guilt about masturbating. I don't think it's healthy, but I think there are a good portion of women that still have that guilt. Mm-hmm. And think that, you know, I have a coworker who recently, I was like making a joke about masturbation, and she thought it was like the worst thing in the world. Granted... like, you know, it was in line with what we were talking about at work. I work with, you know, and they were talking about masturbation. And she's like, oh, God, like, that's just not, like, I just don't want to talk about that. I just don't need to ever know about that. And I'm like...
to ever know what you were saying.
No, about masturbation.
About, that you were talking about, oh, just in general, the topic.
Yes.
Why was it so aversive? Did you ask?
Well, she's, you know...
a young woman?
Yes, she's my age. She's 30. And I was just like, at that point, I was like, we can never be friends. Like, you know, I was like, we are never going to be friends if you're so, oh my God.
If you're not touching your clit, I can't be friends with you.
If you're going to be weird about it, we're done.
I know. It's really, but it's an interesting thing because when women were asked about masturbation and the use of a vibrator, most of them assume that they're, and I'll take our lovely guest in a minute, but most of them were convinced that their men are going to feel bad about them masturbating or them using a vibrator, where in fact, the women, men liked it, and men were nonchalant about it in a way, you know, some really liked it, some didn't care about it. I'm sure that there's a percentage that didn't like it. You know, there's always some sector that doesn't prefer it. But still, the women were much more judgmental about their view of their own sexuality, of their own masturbation patterns, and the use of a vibrator, to the extent that they were more judgmental towards their own sexuality, and then, you know, it, in terms of everything, and in terms of masturbation in particular. But I was curious about how do men feel about masturbation and the use of vibrators. And for that, on that note, we got to take our lovely guest. Hi, Tim.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. How are you?
I'm fine. I was just watching, and very interesting topic matter. And I can't really speak in... I generally don't speak in general terms.
That's generally speaking.
In terms of how men view things.
Yeah.
But what I will say is I'm all for whatever it takes to get the job done.
That's very good, so, to begin with, yes.
You can use an industrial grade vibrator. You can masturbate. Actually, it's interesting because I used to encourage my girlfriend to masturbate. I'd be like, go lay down and masturbate while I'm getting ready. And it was like, you know, warm the pussy up for me. And it's like a win-win because
it is.
She's laying there, you know, do-do-do-do-do, doing her thing, getting hot. And I'm like, you know, now I don't have to do as much.
Yes.
Hasn't changed.
No, it's not like that.
We're not all selfish. And I'm not totally selfish.
That's very considerate of you. Really. Honestly, no. But it is, because most men are more interested in their... Some men are more interested in their pleasure. But yeah, please tell me. So if your partner, if your ex-girlfriend for that matter, showed up in the house with like this huge vibrator and said, you know, I want to use it, what would you think? I mean, I'm curious about your view.
Go. Do it now.
Let me watch.
Do it in front of me. Do it behind my back. Do it when I'm at work. Actually, what's funny is I had an industrial... You know the kind that you see at Walmart? Like, it's got a handle and it's got two knobs.
Jesus Christ.
And you put it on your shoulder.
Sounds on your shoulder?
Okay, it's a shoulder massage. It's a shoulder massager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. But I had like a two... Those are like $30. I had like a $200 one that was industrial strength. And my girlfriend
says... Wow, that's like... It blows you off, literally.
Well, I actually did use it on myself a little. It feels nice, you know.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yes.
When you're using it on your genitalia, let's just say.
You use it on your balls. And your dick.
Well, and your junk, and your penis, your peni. So this thing is industrial strength. It's a $200 massager.
Okay.
And I was doing massage, and I said, hey, I'm going to give this to one of my clients. Don't give it away. I use that all the time.
I'm addicted to it. I can't let it go.
You know, what's interesting is, and you ladies bring up an interesting point in terms of, like, if you've got a partner and they're, my girlfriend's masturbating, does that imply that I'm
not
that
doing
I'm not
your
doing,
job?
Am I not doing enough because she's like sneaking in the afternoon when I'm not around, or I think in some ways that's true.
That's true that you're not doing your job.
I think that
is this how you view it, or
I think that I was in that experience or in that example. Mm-hmm. I think like we were having issues, you know, like
because of that.
No, we were having. We were arguing.
Oh, okay. So that's what kind of led to it.
I'm not sure, but you know, like it's a weird thing. Like women will punish a man. Oh, I've got a headache, or you know, if things aren't going well and they're not in the mood, and a guy, I would do that to my ex. I'm like, fuck you.
You're not getting any.
I'll punish my man.
That's not usually a bad thing.
I'll punish him in a different way.
You're not getting rewarded.
You're not getting rewarded.
A crummy girlfriend. Hey, I was like, do a few dishes. I'll fuck you all day long. Clean a little.
While she's doing the dishes?
That would be difficult. That could be dangerous.
That is not dangerous at all. That
you
is
could
a
drop
lot
a
of
dish.
Fun.
Oh,
what?
No, you can fuck during any chore.
You can fuck
vacuuming.
That is absolutely. I'm very proud of you. That is lovely. No, so seriously.
The kitchen fuck is great.
It is.
Yeah, I just don't want you to do anything.
You're chopping some vegetables and you're all of a sudden, back getting her behind.
That's exciting.
Nothing would get done.
I know. You're going to the really dark side of things.
I'm just saying. I'm like, if I'm holding a knife, that's not the light side.
You are terrific, Tim.
Yeah, no,
Luann was going to the dark side with the knife and stuff.
I'm chopping vegetables. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I know. No,
well, knife play. That's a whole nother.
Because
you
want to
get into knife play.
I know.
Or rape play.
I know.
Yeah,
I know. But seriously, so I want to ask you as a man.
I want to ask you as a man.
So with that specific girlfriend, you were using that, and then you found it kind of maybe uncomfortable, the fact that she would use it without you or when you were away. You did or you didn't?
No.
You didn't.
I didn't mind.
You didn't mind.
I'm very open-minded. So, what am I going to do? Get angry because she wants to have an orgasm, or she wants to enjoy herself or her body? To me, that's petty, and I'm not into controlling.
Yes.
I was probably more into controlling at the time, but I'm not now. But anyway, that wasn't an issue. So no. You know?
Would you go and pick a vibrator for your partner?
Ooh, I was going there, too.
We did. We went to the sex shop, and we picked out stuff that worked for us, whatever it was.
Let me ask you that question, because I've been with men in a sex shop, and with a few of them. And whenever we would approach the bigger and more intimidating section, they would all turn into dust. So I'm wondering, is that intimidating, a larger vibrator, if your partner is interested in that? Not necessarily. Most women will be very happy with an average sized vibrator, but I'm questioning.
If you're talking about for inserting, talking about vaginal insertion?
Yes.
Are you talking about anal insertion?
No.
Are
anal plugs is a different story.
Clitoral stimulation.
I'm talking about anything that should be.
Are the giant dildos intimidating? Like really? Like
the giant vibrators? Even the dildos? Yes. No. But the ones that look really kind of that's a lot more dick than I have, kind of thing.
Yeah.
No, because not every woman wants a giant.
No, definitely.
This is true. I find them too intimidating and threatening.
It's funny. I'm not giant. Above average, close to seven. Oh. Above average, average.
That
fitness.
Is nice, Tim.
Sorry,
congrats.
I know. I hear it all the time. I'm kidding.
What's interesting?
What I have heard was, and I'm not trying to brag, but a few girls have said that's the perfect penis. It's not too much for the throat, it's not too much for the bottom, and it's not too much for the vag.
It fits perfectly.
and then the other women will be, we were sitting, my ex and I were sitting at a diner once, and the girl we were with was like, oh no, it's got to be big and thick and long.
Some women are what you call size queens.
Yes.
And men.
Size
queens for men, especially. I am actually a size queen in ways. I like large TVs.
What else large do you like? We'll talk about it. Yes, but
I do like large stuff.
Yeah,
But I was going to say this. I actually had a girlfriend. This was back in the 90s.
Yes,
and she was very scorching hot. I mean, like, you'd have to pour, like, water on us because and, like, steam because we'd be going for hours. And, like, you'd have to keep adding lube to the condom because it was just, it was, like, hour after. And I'm not even trying to brag. I was younger.
Yeah.
Can I do that now? Maybe.
I can attempt
with
it.
With a little blue pill, anybody could do anything.
Well, you know,
I don't want to use pharmaceutical enhancements. I'm old school.
Oh.
I'm sticking with my biology.
Yeah.
But, so anyway.
Yeah.
So we, and she would brag. She'd be like, I masturbate every day at 1 o'clock, and I only do clitoral
time.
Masturbation,
right.
And I never penetrate myself. She would brag about that.
And that's interesting. To other people, you mean?
What?
No, not to strangers.
But like, to, you know, like, she would
like
go
to
into
me.
A Starbucks and say, I masturbate every month. So
hey, everybody.
Every one. Yeah, no, but the thing is, so, yeah, so she would talk about it. She wouldn't hide it from you. That's what you're saying. Which is lovely. Yeah, what did you want
I was going to say, what part of it was the, like, the brag, though? Like, I'm not understanding what part of it is like.
No, because, no, yeah. I do understand because some women don't talk about their masturbation patterns with their partners.
No, the brag was that she would never finger herself. It was, she would never penetrate herself.
There's something.
I thought that was kind of odd.
Yeah,
it's not.
That's really, well, no.
It's
I don't
not
mean
odd
that.
At all.
The odd part is that it's the brag, like, I don't need to put a finger inside. That's the weird thing.
Yeah, well,
it's
most women don't, as we saw by the statistics. Most women do use direct clitoral stimulation and not insert anything inside. Because as we know, we're not going to talk about orgasms today. That's a whole different show. But women tend to climax more easily via, you know, clitoral stimulation. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense.
But the girlfriend that I was just dating, not anymore, but she would love my fingers on her clit and bringing her off, or my tongue, but making love to her, she wouldn't come as easily. And, you know,
no, of course,
I was adequate. I wasn't like
you're in the union. You know your stuff.
Well, what I'm saying is I'm not, you know, I'm not a super being in bed. But what I'm saying is I'm not in and out quickly.
Yeah.
I'll be there. I'll be with my partner for a while.
Yeah.
As long as it takes.
As long as it takes. I'm there. I'm down for the job. Yeah.
No, I'm a team player when it comes to my woman's orgasm.
That's terrific. No, listen, we admire your honesty and your view of things. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you
so much, Tim. We'll have you again next time. Our next show is about porn. I'm going to talk about it in a few minutes. But definitely, Tim, we'll have you next week. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
It was my pleasure. It was really nice to talk with you, too. And I let me know if I'm, like, over-talking you guys.
No, not at all. We enjoyed you very much. Thank you, honey.
It's not too much. Don't worry.
Okay.
We'll talk to you soon.
I mean, at least you're talking.
Thank you, dear. We'll talk to you next week again.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for having me.
See you
later. Thank you. Bye.
Okay.
He was great. I mean, I really, because I really want to appreciate and say thank you because the male view of things, honestly, it's hard to get. Usually it's not so, it's a little biased and it's kind of, what do you want to hear? Do you want to hear that I want to see you masturbate? Do you want to hear that it's kind of, you know, trying to satisfy your partner or on the other end, you know, being very dominant and no, you're not going to have. So the view of things is really, and I think that that study that I cited actually kind of proves it, that women are more judgmental towards their sexuality than men are, and that men either don't really care if you masturbate in your private time, or they want to watch it and they like the idea that you masturbate. But either way, a woman is much more occupied with that idea of self-pleasuring and what it entails.
Well, it's interesting because I know the Surgeon General, one of the Surgeon Generals under Clinton, wanted to have a campaign about masturbation and that it was shut down.
Oh, it wasn't,
Yeah, well, they didn't go through with it because
of the dress.
Because it's horrible.
Because of the blue dress.
Yeah. Well, no, this was, I think this was even before.
Oh.
Yeah, but I'm just like, they just did not want it. They're like, no. Well, how dare you talk to our kids about touching themselves? They're not doing that.
That is a horrible, horrible thing.
Who's doing
and
that?
And I have, who's
infants.
Doing it? Only
infants.
Yes.
Infants.
Fetuses. Prenatal. In the womb.
Yes, exactly.
In the wandering womb.
Exactly. So.
But no, but it is an issue that I find is still very uncomfortable, mainly to women, and mainly to women towards either other women, as you the example that you brought from your coworker, or about younger children, or especially girls. You know, mm-hmm. We kind of encourage male masturbation.
Well, we're cute. We know what that is.
They're no, how
that
cute.
Out. They're touching themselves.
How cute. He's going to be a player, a fucker, this and that. But yeah, but a woman doing it is like, oh my God, that's a terrible thing. I do find, though, and that's also empirically based, that who do you think enjoy playing with a vibrator, just touching themselves, and mainly do use machinery of different sorts? Heterosexual women, bisexual women, lesbians, if there's any...
Let's go with the bisexuals, since they're already more open anyway.
Yeah. So that's what you think.
Yeah, sure.
So mostly, yeah. So it's the studies do show that women that have more experience, a vaster experience, a larger experience when it comes to it, and that will include the bisexuals, would use a vibrator more often, and also not only with themselves, but in an encounter. But it did show specifically that lesbians are having more fun.
Yeah.
And that women that have sex with women tend to use different toys more often than women that are either heterosexual or bisexual. When in this sector, they mainly used, if at all, if they did use vibrators, they used it for self-masturbation and not in an encounter with another person.
Well, they're missing out because cock rings are fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
How did you get the cock ring in?
I'm sorry. It's just, I feel like it's fun. Like, I realize
fun.
I also made a major faux pas by having the same cock ring for an extended period of time. And a different partner was like, how long have you had this? And I was like,
oh, you were using it on different partners? My God.
I was like, that's kind of a faux pas. Because it's not really...
It is a horror.
Well, I didn't think about it because I'm like, whatevs.
Yeah,
like,
here, I have something here.
Yeah,
you can
here,
use
put
it.
This on.
It's like a toothbrush.
I know. Well,
no,
I didn't think about it at the time. No. It didn't really dawn on me.
Yeah, I know. But later on, you know, it has some stuff on it. Was that used? It's like a chewed bubble.
I know. It was my... I'm like, don't worry, I got an extra toothbrush here. Don't worry about it.
Oh, my God.
No. Yeah, I'm not very clean. Apparently, I don't really think about things all the way before I do them. Not well thought out.
That was really funny.
Sorry. I just... that was not cool of me.
That wasn't.
I am so sorry.
Honestly,
you
wasn't.
Know who you are, and I am so sorry.
Oh, my God. Well, I know
well,
it's
the other
not.
Ones don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so you admitted to it.
Only once they pointed it out to me and I was like, oh, that's kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of weird. I agree. I do have to say that in praise of masturbation, and I do praise it. I think it's one of the most, and I do think it's a very honest kind of play and really puts us in a better position. It makes us feel better. It makes us look better. It's a great solution to fall asleep with, and it's a great solution for migraines. I should know. in terms of how our body reacts, our bodies react to either a coitus, intercourse or masturbation, what do you think? What generates better results in women?
Sorry, I'm like... I don't know. I enjoy masturbating. I mean, I think it's really important that you keep a healthy sexual relationship. Even if you're in a relationship, not only with your partner, but also with yourself. So it helps. I think I enjoy masturbation a lot more.
Enjoyment aside, because I tend to agree, because, you know, you kind of know how to touch yourself better than a partner, even if you teach them how to. Usually you know better. And it's a shorter, you know, way towards climax.
Right.
Because it kind of, you know your way around it. And
unless you're enjoying yourself. I enjoy myself.
Yes.
I'm all, hold up. I'm blocking my schedule for the next hour.
Yeah, just like Samantha. Yeah. I'm like, I'm masturbating all day. I lost my my climax. But honestly, when it comes to results, and I'm talking about the hormonal, you know, reaction and all of the above, I found it interesting to find that an encounter actually produces much more prolactin, for that matter, the hormone that is, you know, the bonding that is usually, you know, more intense with women, the one that kind of connects you and bonds you to your fetus. And, you know, it does really, it's been released 4,400 times more in an encounter than in masturbation. So,
because you're bonding to someone,
right? You can, you know,
you can bond to yourself.
No, but that hormone is beneficial to your well-being, regardless. Yeah. But it does serve a certain purpose when it comes to encounter. What I'm saying is that, and I kind of want to sum it up with saying that I think that for the sake of the hormonal release, it's wonderful. Yeah. But you should definitely masturbate. I mean, I think that it's one of the easiest ways and the most honest ways for women to kind of find the right way towards a climax, and even kind of just, you know, since, as Tim said, that woman that he was with exclaimed that she was only touching her her clit and she wasn't penetrating herself, because most women, and I don't want to go into orgasms because we are going to have a show about that. But do you want to give our number and the way to contact us?
Yes. You can reach us at 1-800-893-9562 on Sundays between 8 and 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And you can contact us at drlamore.com and get to the contact page.
Terrific. Excellent. And so we're definitely waiting to hear from you. And I just want to say, the next week we'll have a show about porn. And we'll have guests, and that should be so much fun.
Yes, I'm very much looking forward to that.
I know, because I think we have so many questions as to the industry and what it entails. And we invite you to send us questions in advance if you want to hear from male and female talents in this industry. Yeah. And from us, of course. We invite you to write us, and we'll, of course, address it on our next show. So it was fun.
Yes, this was.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm Dr. Limor Blockman.
And I'm Luann Hernandez.
Bye.
Bye-bye.